This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutan, and you're listening to The Property Show on The Morning Run. From updating your landscape to adding solar panels, many people tend to focus on the exterior of the home to boost property values. But taking the interior of your home into consideration by remodeling and incorporating the latest interior design trends can also boost your property value. Here to discuss how interior design affects your property values is Gavin Liu, co-founder and senior consultant of the Makeover Guys. Joyce Goh speaks to him.
Good morning, Gavin. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
So let's go straight into interior designing. How does interior design affect the value of property?
I think the landscape of rental properties is very different today. I think previously in the past, I think all you need is four walls, you know, and then some furnishing and you'll be able to rent your properties out. But in recent years, due to the incoming supply, I think that's no longer the case. So if I was a tenant and I'm looking for a property in major cities like KL or JB, I have so many options to choose from. And what really sets... what really affects my decision will be the interiors.
So are there different considerations for ID when it comes to sale versus rental?
Oh, yes, there is. So when it comes to properties for sale, we need to give the new owners a certain freedom to continue on what you have created. Right? So you cannot fully furnish it because when it comes to, for example, three rooms, the rooms need not necessarily be a bedroom. You know, it can be an office, it can be a kid's room. But when it comes to rental properties, you generally want to furnish all the rooms as bedrooms. So generally for properties for rent, when it comes to the bedrooms, it's generally better to just fill it up because you want to maximize your opportunities, right? So depending on the location, people generally do share apartments when they rent, right? Because they want to keep costs low. So they rent bedrooms instead, and either that or two friends can share a three-bedroom apartment and vice versa, and things like that, right? So although you have a three-bedroom, you know, you want to rent it out as a whole, chances are when people rent your place, they might consider sharing. So if all three bedrooms are furnished, you know, then you have better chance. On a second note, let's say, for example, if you own a two-bedder unit, you fill out a bedroom and one with a study table. Things like that are generally not encouraged because what you'll be doing is you're competing with one-bedders in the other apartments. The prices of rental properties are determined by bedrooms, right? So if you have a one-bedder and an office, for example, generally it's the same product as a studio apartment, and I know a bigger studio apartment. It's just a bigger studio apartment or a bigger one bedroom. What you really want is to compete with the correct category. So in that example, if I can convert a two bedroom into a three bedroom, right, generally I raise my rental because I'm now competing with three bedders and I can be the cheaper alternative. And it's better for me too because I paid the price of a two-bedder.
Right. I see. Okay. So when it comes to designing, what is the most important factor that people should consider? Is it cost, space, theme?
I think it's always based on what the tenant needs and not what you want, right? As an owner, if I want to rent my property, of course, I want everything to be as cheap as possible. You know, I want to give as little as possible because investments are supposed to make you money, right? Not make you spend money. But in reality, I think the consideration is always based on your tenant profiles. You need to know who you're serving. For example, if your property is in an area where expatriates are, so you can't skim on certain things because what they are looking for is actually lifestyle stuff. And probably the rates are not, you know, exactly your general mass market rates as well. On the other hand, if you're serving if you're in the market for students, for example, you need to make sure that, you know, there's a study place, the property accommodates sharing, because that's generally what they do.
I see. So cater to your target market. Yes. That's what you're saying. So which, in your opinion, like, should we focus on certain areas in the room? like big areas like kitchen or the bathroom, and which furniture is worth investing in and which ones can we spend less on?
Generally, our philosophy is always you only have one chance to make a good first impression. Mm-hmm. So when you enter the unit, that living room, that living space, the first space that you see has to impress. And then the second part is you need to cater to the paymaster. The person who will be paying the rental will probably be living in the master bedroom, right? So these are the two areas where you need to make sure that it is complete. Mm. So for example, for landed houses, it's very different. For landed houses, decision makers will most probably be the wife, for example.
You need to cater
the kitchen and you need to make sure the walk-in wardrobe is big enough. You know, certain things like that. So at the end of the day, the philosophy is always know who you are targeting and always cater to their needs.
Why the wives at condos don't cook?
No. So when it comes to landed houses, typically people who look for landed houses have kids, so it's all families, right? Mm. But for condos, I think it's very different. There are so many variations. Mm. A small studio apartment, for example, you'd be catering to bachelors, you know, young executives. A 3-bedroom, sometimes depending on the area, sometimes people actually share. So it may consist of a few friends or colleagues, maybe.
So when it comes to selling or renting out properties, some people do staging. So is that common, feasible, or even practical?
So, sorry, when you mean staging, do you think you stage it and then after that...
Take away. Yeah, that's right. Is it common here?
No.
I see.
Staging is not common here. In fact, people tend to expect to get what they see.
Okay, yeah. So if in your opinion, you're saying staging as in to make sure it looks good when the first, as earlier you were saying, first impression to go
correct.
In. Yeah, okay. So in that sense, it's common where they come in, they see the furniture and that is what they get.
And that's right? What they expect to get
correct.
As well.
So it's feasible and practical to have that rather than do non-furnished. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
You can sell and rent that out easier.
Yes, correct.
From your experience, mm-hmm. what is the hit rate, success rate like?
What do you mean?
From your experience in
okay.
doing ID,
okay.
when the customer does ID already,
okay.
Success rate of getting a buyer or a tenant, is that 100%?
Actually, it's way over 90%.
Okay.
I wouldn't dare to claim 100% because at the end of the day, the location and the building itself, we can't change that,
mm-hmm.
right? But what we can do is if you stage the property or if you put the things that your tenant or your buyer wants, chances are if you compare with the rest of whatever of the rest of the properties, you will definitely get a better chance. Mm.
And what is the time frame from the time you fit out the place mm-hmm. to actually landing a buyer or a tenant?
Okay, this is a very good question. In fact, right, I think measuring by time is not really the most accurate way. So certain developments, for example, what I call hot properties, mm-hmm. you may get up to like 10 viewings in a week.
Hot
right?
properties would be the location?
Yeah, based on location, based on the property itself.
Mm-hmm.
So our average hit rate, for example, is actually less than 5 viewings. So we measure through viewings instead
okay.
of through time. Because sometimes certain properties, it could be due to many, many reasons that, you know, they hardly even get inquiries.
Mm.
So a more accurate measurement will be through the number of viewings.
So usually it's about 5 and then they land something.
Actually, it's less than 5.
Less than 5?
Yeah,
okay,
than
when
5.
You say hotspots, which are the hotspots?
Hotspots are places like in KL City Centre, mm. PJ, mm. you know, generally places where there's a lot of commercial activity, a lot of public transport, near to a lot of offices, because generally people like to move to places where near where they work.
This is for rental market or
yes,
for buying?
Rental.
Rental, I
this
see. What
rental.
About buying?
For buying, it can be anywhere, because at the end of the day, we cannot... People have many, many reasons to buy whatever property they want. You know, it could be nostalgic reasons, it could mm. be emotional reasons. So generally, it's easier to measure, to predict rental properties.
Okay. Are there any stylish trends that could actually have a negative impact on property value?
Stylish trends that could have negative.
Like for example, maybe a black wall, or maybe people like a red wall, or wallpaper, because it's very distinct to what the individual likes, right?
Correct, correct. Mm. So when it comes to rental properties, right, like even when we do it as well, we like to stick to neutral colors, because first things first, we want to take personal preference out of the picture. So for example, if you put a color, let's say blue color, for example, if a tenant just does not like blue, and that's it, you know, you're just going to lose the opportunity. So when it comes to rental properties, always try to stick to neutral colors, because what you want is mass appeal.
Right.
And colors can also be associated to certain ethnicity, for example, and you don't know where your tenant's coming from. They come from all over the world, right? Mm. So you really want to avoid colors.
Just colors. Anything else? How about positioning of furniture and all that?
Positioning of furniture, I think there are certain things like, you know, sleeping facing the bathroom door and stuff like that. Just people, whatever it is, always be practical. Mm. You know, if you find that, if you position in a way where the house feels very cluttered, you know, it's very hard to move around, then I think you're going to have a problem.
So creating space is important.
Yes, yes.
I'm speaking to Gavin Liu, co-founder and senior consultant of The Makeover Guys. After this, we will talk about interior designing on a budget. Stay tuned to The Morning Run, BFM 89.9. Good morning. Welcome back to The Property Show. Today, we have Gavin Liu, co-founder and senior consultant of The Makeover Guys. Gavin, earlier we were talking about how interior designing can affect property value. Now, let's talk about interior designing on a budget.
All right.
So how much should one put aside when it comes to ID costs, like percentage from the renovation budget?
Generally, it's under 10%, right? If you're going to be renting it out, generally it's around less than 10% of the property price. But what we do like to measure is through the number of rooms, because honestly, price is just one part of the equation. The difference between a two-bedder and a three-bedder is basically just the furnishings for one bedroom, right? And that's the same for studios as well. The common items are the same. You know, the fridge, the TV, the washing machine, you know, stuff like this are the same. So generally, it's around less than 10%, but it depends more on the room.
Let's look at the actual value. How much does it cost to fit out a one bedroom?
From one bedroom, I think you can furnish it for around 15,000 to 25,000, depending on what the developer has provided.
Fully furnished.
Including
including ID consulting cost?
Yeah, including the electrical appliances and all that.
Without electrical appliances?
If you without, then it'll be around 3,000 plus less.
Then how about a three bedroom?
So for three bedrooms, generally from 28,000 to 42,000.
Right. So do you find that people often underestimate how much interior designing can cost?
Yes. Actually, a lot of people, if they have not done it before, right, people generally tend to underestimate how much it can cost until they actually set to hunt for the items or actually do it. Then they'll know that although the numbers are pretty small, you know, everything is like a few hundred dollars, but as a whole, because there's so many things to buy, right, it just adds up to a whole lot. And especially so when they do structural changes. So certain things, maybe you can estimate $2,000 just to, you know, do something to the walls or even change the wiring and all. But the fact is that this sort of changes causes a domino effect. So when you do something, then sooner or later you realize, oh no, the tiles need to be replaced because it's a different color, you know, things like that.
Mm. In your experience, how possible is it to design on a budget?
I think it's very possible. I mean, we've been designing on a budget.
When you say budget, is how much?
When we say budget, it is as per the prices that I told you.
I see. Can you share with us how do you design on a budget, or where to shop, or share some cost-effective tips with us?
Okay, so for example, right, when you're furnishing, let's say, a three-bedroom condo, if you go to the conventional way of designing a house, a lot of people start with the heavy stuff, you know, plaster ceiling, TV cabinet, and then all the built-in wardrobes, and then the big kitchen, and honestly, these few items already take up a big chunk of these are all the big ticket items, right? So when it comes to designing on a budget, what you really need to do is you really need to prioritize, do a checklist. Certain things are must-haves. For example, a sofa, a bed, these are must-haves. And there are also a lot of things which are nice to have. I will consider plaster ceiling nice to have. Mm. It costs a lot. It looks great, but it's just a nice to have, At the end of the day, there are many ways of adding light points and hiding wiring instead of just using the plaster ceiling. So once you categorize all this, I think it makes it easier for you to decide what to spend and what not to.
Mm. Studio apartments and Soho units are becoming more popular now.
Okay.
What tips can you share to turn small places into livable spaces?
Okay, when it comes to studios and Sohos, right, for rent or for own use?
Both.
Both.
Maybe we can target for rent first and then we do for own use.
Okay, So for studios and Soho units, if you're talking for rent, first of all, I think you need to be aware that you'll be catering to the younger population, young executives, perhaps a bachelor or at most a couple, right? So when it comes to that, you need to make sure that your interiors appeal to the young. It cannot be too conservative, it cannot be too old-fashioned, it's got to be a little bit edgy, because generally people one lifestyle today, and people are willing to pay for lifestyle, right? Especially the younger generations. Now, if you're planning for own use, I think space is a major concern. You really want to maximize space. So if you can, do consider furniture with dual usage, for example, right?
Such as
If you get a dining table, make sure that it's comfortable to work in as well, somewhere where you can actually, use your laptop. If you are staying there on your own, besides that, maybe you can consider some space-saving furniture, like Murphy beds, where you can actually fold down and turn it up.
Sofa beds?
Sofa beds are not very comfortable to sleep in.
I see.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
Or a table that can turn into a storage space?
Yeah, yeah. Beds with storage cabinets under it. You really want to maximize space. So always buy furniture with dual usage.
Okay. In your experience, when it comes to ID, when you fit out a place, how long will that last?
Generally, we want it to last 3 to 4 years, meaning it will pass through 3 to 4 tenancies. Okay, there are certain things. Different things have different lifespans. For example, if you're going to be furnishing a kitchen and aircon, these are the big ticket items, right? Generally, you want this to last a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But if you talk about furniture with high wear and tear, like the coffee table, you want it to last 2 to 3 years at least, and when it comes to high wear and tear item also, do not overspend. I know you've been eyeing on that designer coffee table for a long time, but don't buy that for your rental property. Buy something that is affordable, easy to replace, because you can interview your tenants however many times you want, and they may nail the interview, but you don't know how they will treat your furnishing in the long run, right? So it's better to lower your risk as an investor, because you're going to be renting it out, right?
Mm-hmm.
So high wear items generally keep costs low. Things that generally do not spoil easily, like the aircons and all, I think you can invest a little bit more. Like built-in wardrobes, your kitchens. I think these are things that you want to last a long time.
Okay, so what will the big ticket items be, in your opinion, and that we should invest on? You said aircons and all. What about sofas or the dining table?
I will consider the sofa and dining table high wear and tear.
Okay.
Right, so generally you don't want to overspend on these type of items, because your tenants will use it every day. Things that can last a long time will be things like the aircon, your kitchen cabinets, even your kitchen cabinets. I think when they rent, you need to make sure that they know that that is their responsibility for normal maintenance. That means if it's wet, you know, you can't just leave the water there for all times, because no matter what material you use, it's just going to damage the kitchen cabinets. So generally what we like to do is, for high wear and tear items, we make sure that the price is low enough so that your deposits can cover, the deposits that you collect from the tenants are able to cover all these things.
So when it comes to ID and hiring an ID consultant, how long does the process take to fit out, for example, a three-bedroom?
It can take, depending on who the ID is, it can take three to six months.
3 to 6 months.
Yeah. But for us, because we serve only property investors, we promise everything within 30 working days.
I've been speaking to Gavin Liu, co-founder and senior consultant of The Makeover Guys. Thank you, Gavin, for your time.
Thank you.
You've been listening to The Property Show on The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
That was Joyce Goh speaking to Gavin Liu, co-founder and senior consultant of The Makeover Guys, about how interior design can affect the value of your property. That's all from The Morning Run. Coming up next is the News Bulletin at 10 and then Enterprise. I'm Sharad Kutin. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.